Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The blackout has ended at last, and now the investigators take over. What actually caused the power failure that struck New York City and its northern and eastern suburbs Wednesday night? And why did it last so long? By order of President Carter, the Federal Power Commission begins its inquiry today, and we'll hear about that from Richard Roth in Washington.
The Federal Power Commission staff has been instructed to investigate all phases of the New York blackout and to make its report available within 2 weeks. But even as the investigation was about to begin, a formal announcement from the commission seemed to imply that the New York power company Con Ed, and not just Nature, was at least partly responsible for the paralyzing power failure. The announcement said that many electric companies had adopted preventive measures following the massive Northeast blackout of 1965. But then added that events demonstrate in the case of New York, those preventive measures have been insufficient. Power Commission Chairman Richard Dunham pointed out it could be something simple might have prevented the blackout, perhaps an additional lightning rod at the utility transformer. Investigators will consider that, along with the possibility that, once lightning struck and disabled the transformer, some other safeguards might have been able to contain the problem. FPC officials said the investigation's findings will be shared with the President, the Congress, and the public. Richard Roth, CBS News, Washington.
Other investigations are getting underway. Governor Carey has ordered one by the New York State Public Service Commission, and Mayor Beam has appointed a board of inquiry. The chairman of that board, New York lawyer Ira Milstein, says all these regulatory agencies have been involved for a long time, and they didn't prevent this from happening. We're not out to get anybody, Milstein adds. We want to get the facts. As for conditions in the affected region, here's the report of Jim Kilpatrick.
For almost 9 million people, the electricity is back on in the New York area after more than 24 hours. The things most people take for granted are working again. The coffee pot, stove, refrigerator, freezer, air conditioners, a subway system that carries millions of people a day, and for New Yorkers, elevators that rise in one building, 110 floors. But Consolidated Edison's problems are only beginning. The utility company says the breakdown was caused by a freak series of lightning strikes, an act of God, Board Chairman Charles Luce called it. City and federal officials denounced the breakdown as intolerable, and several inquiries are already underway. Even though power was not restored until well into the evening, the looting that plagued many parts of the city the first night and yesterday did not occur last night. More police were on the streets, and perhaps the looters were tired after 24 hours of free shopping. But many more New Yorkers went out of their way to assist neighbors and strangers. The Great White Way was lit again last night. Curtains went up in Broadway theaters. Today, the financial and retail facilities can reopen after estimated losses of $40 million. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News, New York.
Nearly 3,500 people were arrested in New York during the blackout, most of them for looting. The police department says 426 officers were injured, 18 of them seriously.
You don't have to stretch your imagination to stretch gas mileage in a Datsun. Highway or city, you'll see Datsuns passing gas pumps left and right. Datsun saves. But then you know that. So what else is new besides great gas mileage? The Datsuns that come with it. For one, the new Datsun B210 Plus. It's EPA rated at 46 miles per gallon highway, 30 city. And even though EPA figures are estimates and your mileage could vary, keep in mind that the B210 Plus hatchback not only exceeds 1978 federal requirements, but all the way through 1985. What's new? Datsun's well-equipped new B210 Plus. The car that lets you save a bundle on gas in a gassy-looking car. What's new is what's at your Datsun dealer now.
North Korea today, like the United States, is taking a restrained approach on the shooting down of an American Army helicopter north of the demarcation line night before last. It calls the affair an unhappy incident. It says its troops were compelled to fire because the helicopter crew tried to evade capture. Three of the men were killed. The fourth was taken into custody. Bruce Dunning has further details in Seoul.
The names of the four men aboard the ill-fated helicopter were released, but no one here knows which of the four is still alive and which three died. The North Koreans have reported in radio broadcasts that the lone survivor is being treated for wounds received when the helicopter was shot down, but they did not identify him. The U.S. command hopes to learn who was killed and who the survivor is at a meeting of the Truce Commission tomorrow at Panmunjom. The North Koreans have refused U.S. requests to meet yesterday and today, saying they are investigating the crash. U.S. officials, however, say they have been agreeably impressed with what they are calling the low-key attitude of the North Koreans. North Korean reports on the incident have been straightforward and almost devoid of propaganda and attacks on the U.S., far different from their attacks on the Americans that have followed similar incidents in the past. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Seoul.
White House new Secretary Jody Powell, making the same point, said last night, quote, "Both they and we have remained reasonably calm in our statements compared with past situations." Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin, preparing for talks in Washington next week with the president, left for the United States this morning. And we'll hear about that from Bruno Wassertheil.
As he left on his first overseas mission as Prime Minister of the Jewish state, Menachem Begin stressed that he was going to Washington with concrete proposals for the peacemaking process. And it's believed here that Begin is carrying the most detailed peace formula Israel has ever devised in its 29-year history. The Prime Minister said that President Carter should be the first to hear the Israeli plan and declined to reveal any of its content. In a departure statement, Begin asserted that Israel is not a burden to the United States, but an ally of the United States. He indicated that while in Washington, he would invite President and Mrs. Carter to visit Israel. Before boarding the Israeli jumbo jet that would take him to America, Begin inspected a guard of honor and stood stiffly at attention while a military band played the Israeli national anthem, Hatikva, which means the hope. Bruno Wassertheil for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
Fighting has broken out in Israel among Vietnamese refugees who arrived there 3 weeks ago. They're arguing over who should pay for the fishing boat that brought them out of Vietnam. They were picked up from the fishing boat by an Israeli freighter in the South China Sea. Now the crewmen of the freighter will be asked if they can shed any light on the dispute.
That was the new fuel-injected Datsun 280Z. A car engineered to endure what the world dishes out. An even better Z than those that have captured seven SCCA racing championships. This Datsun 280Z is better because both its two and four passenger versions offer a new five-speed transmission option, new functional hood louvers, mag-type wheel covers, and 15 other thoughtful Datsun refinements in handling and feel. That was America's most wanted sports car, the fuel-injected Datsun 280Z. Priced within reach, engineered to endure, blacked out perfected.
Buy your tickets now for the California 500 at Ontario Motor Speedway and watch Datsun face the race on September 4th. KNX News Radio time, 7:09.
Bert Lance, director of the Office of Management and Budget, appears this morning before the Senate Government Operations Committee. George Herman tells us what he's doing there.
Budget Director Lance will be questioned by the committee about the details of his already well-published investments, mainly about his stock in the National Bank of Georgia. Lance owns more than 190,000 shares of that stock, about 21% of the shares outstanding. He wants time for his trustee to dispose of it privately, so large a block can hardly be sold on the open market without forcing the price down ruinously. Lance bought the stock at around $17 a share. Early this month, it went down to $8.50, but is now back up to around $11.50. Even that price would mean a loss of over $1 million. Lance says, however, that he'll stand by his commitment to the committee to sell it all by December 31st if they want. The committee is considered almost certain to give him a waiver since there appears to committee members to be no visible conflict of interest. George Herman, CBS News, Washington.
Unconfirmed reports from Washington say Lyman Kirkpatrick is being seriously considered for the post of CIA deputy director. Kirkpatrick, now a professor of political science at Brown University, was the CIA's number three man when he retired from the intelligence agency in 1965. The deputy directorship will become vacant August 1st when E. Henry Nockey's resignation takes effect. Nockey quit in a dispute with director Stansfield Turner. More difficulties are being reported today for Chinese agriculture. Mike Chinoy has details in Hong Kong.
Two more Chinese provinces are reporting severe droughts which are threatening the crucial summer harvest. Radio broadcasts from the provinces located in southwest and west China say tens of thousands of officials have been mobilized to direct the population in emergency relief operations. The operations are designed to build new wells and irrigation systems to save what's left of the summer crops. At the same time, there have been reports of serious floods in three eastern provinces as the summer rains come down with unusual force. In some areas, crops have been destroyed and railways and other communications lines disrupted. The Chinese normally don't reveal details of natural disasters like these, so there's no way to confirm the extent of the damage. But it does seem clear that the drought and the flooding will hinder China's ambitious efforts to develop its economy as quickly as possible. Mike Chinoy for CBS News, Hong Kong.
David Hill, one of the two suspects in the so-called trash bag murders in California, has been released. The Riverside County Grand Jury has refused to indict him. The district attorney says, "We still feel Hill is involved in the killings, but are unable at this time to prove it." Authorities are investigating the murders of at least 11 young men, and the total may go as high as 28. California's San Quentin prison has transferred 45 inmates to other state institutions because they are believed to have instigated the racial violence that caused several deaths at San Quentin early this week. James Earl Ray is scheduled to appear before a judge today at Brushy Mountain State Prison in Tennessee for a hearing on charges resulting from his prison break last month. His lawyer says the convicted killer of Martin Luther King Jr. will plead not guilty to the escape charge.